All right, Alexander, I'm just going to read you a title via The Federalist from the very talented Molly Hemingway. And she's had her pulse on the Russiagate, Ukraine gate hoax from the get-go, a little after us, but from the get-go. Anyway, here's her her article from The Federalist. Vindman, not whistleblower, was driving force behind impeachment. New book shows how Lieutenant Colonel Alex Vindman was the real instigator of the Ukraine investigation that formed the pretext for Democrats' impeachment of President Trump. Alexander, she is obviously referring to Byron York's new book, which you will get into. And just on a side note, I don't think we can still say that guy's name, actually. We call him the gossip blower because what he was saying was a lot of gossip. But I still think you can't say his name.
Absolutely.
If you actually said it, your video would get wiped out. So obviously we can't say who it is, even though everyone knows who it is. But at the end of the day, you know, he was kind of the supporting actor, the main actor in all of this, turned out to be the proposed defense minister of Ukraine, Lieutenant Colonel Alexander Vindman. Alexander, tell us about Byron York, his book, and his revelations, which I also want to say, I know you're gonna say it, you're going to make a note of it, but I also want to say we were spot on in our analysis of this entire thing. Everyone that viewed our videos, go back, see them again, and you will see whatever Byron York documents was exactly what we were reporting on many, many months ago. Alexander.
Absolutely. Can I just say, I'm currently reading through Byron York's book on Russiagate. It is far and away the best book on Russiagate anyone has written. I mean, Andrew McCarthy has also written, he's a lawyer. He's also written a very interesting book, but it's a very legalistic book, very, very dry. Byron York's book is, you know, wonderfully written. It's an absolute page turner. He's a brilliant journalist. He's very close to the Republicans in Congress, so he's got all that information. And, you know, I've been reading it with extraordinary interest because, exactly as you say, Alex, it confirms everything we've been saying. I mean, it's really quite extraordinary. I've been, you know, going through everything, and I find that everybody, all the people that we've been talking about, had exactly the roles we said. I mean, people like Comey and Strzok and Page and you name it, Schiff, Adam Schiff, who we'll come to in a moment. I mean, it's quite amazing to see how all our, I won't call them guesses because we never really guess, but all our inferences, all our deductions have proved absolutely true. And of course, you know, we made all those deductions based on things that we were reading and hearing in, you know, the media and elsewhere. We are not able to do what Byron York can do, which is actually talk to some of the people involved. But we got it right. And you're quite right. We didn't just get it right. We got it right from the first. We didn't just get the overall sense of it right. We got all the detail right. And it's quite amazing, actually. I mean, you know, it's obviously left me very pleased and very satisfied. But, you know, it is nice to know how completely spot on we both were right from the beginning. But, you know, if you want it all in one place, if you want to get a sense of, you know, all the drama and, you know, all the things and all the investigations, and you want to get down into the bottom of what the deep state was up to and what the Democrats were up to. The book is called Obsession, by the way. And it's quite interesting that he uses that word because obsession is what it was. Then you will find it all there. One thing that does come across, and perhaps it's more, you know, this is perhaps something that is additional to what we said. It doesn't change any of our findings, but it's about the personality of Donald Trump. He comes across, I'm going to say, it's a very likable man. That's not a general view. And someone who likes to be liked. And one of the mistakes he was making, he should have asked us for advice, because one of the mistakes he was making when he came to Washington and he started to deal with people like Comey and all the others, was that he thought that if people got to know him and understand what he was really about, and that he was not this, you know, monster that they were all making him out to be, people would understand that and accept him and would even like him. And of course, he came to realize that these terribly sinister and very dangerous people that populate the swamp in Washington, they take no prisoners. They're completely unsentimental. That's not what they're about at all. And he made a lot of mistakes at the beginning because he was basically a nice man. That isn't something you hear much people say much about Trump. Very clever man, far cleverer. I mean, he comes across as a very clever man, but sometimes far too trusting. And one person he trusted to his incredible cost was James Comey. And he was warned by all sorts of people, including people which surprised me, like Jeff Sessions and Christie, that, you know, and especially
Giuliani.
Especially by Giuliani. I was going to say Giuliani more than anyone else. They said to him, just don't trust Comey. This man is an absolute snake. He's working against you, and he's working against you, 24/7. And he was. So, I mean, this is something that Trump didn't understand, and it got him into enormous trouble at the beginning of his presidency. So that's the one thing that, you know, again, I'd sort of sensed it. I mean, I've never bought into the media narrative, the mythology about Trump. As I said, he comes across as actually a rather likable and actually rather nice man. I'm into it.
Can I interject very quickly? I was watching an interview with Byron York on, I think it was Laura Ingraham, and he said that Giuliani was constantly telling President Trump to fire Comey.
That's right.
I mean, he was urging him to fire Comey, but according to York, I think York said during the interview that Trump thought he could win Comey over.
Yeah, that's right. What he thought would happen. Win him over is not, I think, quite how it comes across to me. What I think he thought he could do, what I think Trump thought he could do, is that he'd meet with Comey, and it becomes so obvious that, you know, Trump was not this monster, and it was certainly no kind of Russian asset, and that he wanted to work with Comey, that Comey would understand that. And they'd sort out a good working relationship and team relationship with each other. It's a complete misjudgment, a total mistake. And I mean, it's interesting fact that, you know, Giuliani, who was far and away the person who was pushing Trump strongest to fire Comey, was, of course, a lawyer, a federal prosecutor, brilliant lawyer. But, you know, notice, you know, both Jeff Sessions, who was also telling Trump, get rid of Comey, and Christie, who was also a federal prosecutor, telling Trump, get rid of Comey. They're all people who worked in the Justice Department bureaucracy at various times. They've all obviously had dealings with Comey in the past, and they knew what a totally duplicitous and incredibly dangerous and deceitful and treacherous snake of a man he actually is. So, you know, I just want to say that, but It proves to me that, you know, being nice in Washington, which is what Trump was, just doesn't get you anywhere. It just lands you with lots of trouble. I don't think Trump makes that mistake anymore. I think by now he's figured out that, you know, you keep your enemies close, and you keep those you think are your friends even closer. And if you're told somebody is not to be trusted, you fire them. That's what you have to do if you're going to succeed. But, you know, as the only thing about this book that I mean, I sort of sensed it already. I think we both had, but that became even clearer to me is that, you know, what a human being Donald Trump is. I mean, you know, likable human being, certainly not this, you know, monster that the liberal media make him out to be. I mean, very few people are so unlike the image that has been constructed about them. And by the way, it's that likability and that warmth of personality which we've talked about much in our programs, which explains why he has this extraordinary rapport with people, why when he goes out and he talks to people and he engages with them, he wins them over. Most people respond to Trump. It's the swamp in Washington that doesn't and never will. And now let's get on to Vindman, because he's a classic. He is a classic example of this. I mean, one of the things he said, I mean, you're absolutely right, we're not supposed to mention this whistleblower's name, which is remarkable, because in fact it now become absolutely clear, Byron York explains it, this whistleblower wasn't even important. He wasn't even the whistleblower. He didn't start anything. He wasn't up to anything. I mean, he was just a messenger. He was somebody who was used by Vindman to sort of create this impression. Well, Vindman on the one hand, and Adam Schiff, it must be said, on the other, they fabricated this story, this legend of this great whistleblower, which had absolutely no truth to it. And the interesting thing about Vindman is, of course, the reason Vindman did it is not, I think, because he's any kind of, you know, cares much about domestic politics. He not cares about politics in the United States. He cares about the politics of another country, which is Ukraine. He's obsessed with Ukraine. And he didn't like the fact that Donald Trump was, you know, concerned about things that were happening in Ukraine that impact upon the United States and which might undermine a particular policy that Vindman was promoting in Ukraine. So Vindman's loyalties were not to the United States, they were to Ukraine. It's quite bizarre to see this. But the other thing again, and I'm going to say this one more time, we were right. We actually said right at the time, all you need to do is go back to our videos. We were saying when Vindman appeared on the scene and gave this utterly extraordinary evidence to the House Intelligence Committee, you know, with Adam Schiff, you know, being, you know, the circus manager. This is the man who's behind it all. It's Vindman who has really stirred up Ukrainegate. And we were right about that too. Now, can I just explain the mechanics about this? Vindman was there. He was the person who was listening to the Trump-Zelensky call. He was the person who complained about the call to various people. He complained about the call to the whistleblower, the famous whistleblower, who was not in on the call. And it was Vindman's very bizarre and completely wrong misrepresentation of the call, which conflicts completely with the record of the published record of the call, which Vindman himself, by the way, accepts it's accurate. This is what's so bizarre about this. It was Vindman's crazy interpretation of that call, which the whistleblower supposedly reproduced, and which Adam Schiff stirred up, and which the Democrats ran with, and which Pelosi made the basis of the whole impeachment. So Vindman is right at the center of this. He tried, he was absolutely, but that's by the way what he was clearly up to. He tried to remove from office the President of the United States, not because he was concerned about what the president was doing domestically, but because he was worried that the president's actions might undermine Vindman's own projects in Ukraine, which was the country that Vindman was ultimately loyal to. It's quite extraordinary. It's quite bizarre. It's been, as you correctly say, summarized in the Federalist, in this article in the Federalist. But if you want the details, you can do one of two things. You can read them all in Byron York's book, Obsession, or you can dial back to our old videos and see it on the Duran there. Because at the time, when Vindman was giving his evidence, we were saying it, and it was true.
Yeah. At the end of the day, this had to do with international politics and the military-industrial complex in a way. And I want to tie it back to today. So everything that Vindman was doing was for the benefit of Ukraine, because he didn't like the fact that Trump, in general, was moving the U.S. out of all these foreign entanglements that Obama and Bush and Clinton got the U.S. bogged down into. And there might have even been money for Vindman on the back end with Ukraine. Absolutely. Knowing Ukraine, I'm sure there was a payoff somewhere for Vindman. But Trump yesterday said something which absolutely threw me for a loop. And I say it again, good on Trump. Thank God someone said it. Trump is a non-interventionist peacetime president. We've been saying it for a long time now. Sometimes people look at us and they laugh. He actually, in a speech, called out the military-industrial complex. He says they don't like me. I think he said they don't love me or they don't like me because I want to pull out, I'm paraphrasing, because I want to pull out of all these foreign entanglements, and they want to bog us down in these entanglements because they want to sell, he said they want to sell their airplanes and their guns and their missiles. That speech is all over the internet. Look it up. I'm paraphrasing it, of course, but Trump said it in a speech. And it ties into what Vindman's major beef was, and probably what a lot of the Democrats' major beef was, and the Washington insiders with Trump, is that this guy's going to come in and he's going to take the money out of our pocket, this military-industrial complex money. And this also ties into Alexander, the fact that they're setting up this coup scenario, this Red Mirage scenario, and they're trying to recruit the military to be the final say in removing Trump. So a lot of these dots are connected to this Vindman moment.
Absolutely. Now, can I just say one thing? I mean, the one point where, I agree with everything you said, except I would qualify one point. Vindman's loyalty, I mean, it wasn't so much perhaps to Ukraine, it is to a particular faction that gained power in Ukraine, and which is completely integrated with the forces that you described in the United States, the military-industrial complex, the neocons, the regime changes at the State Department, the people who want to sell arms, who look for confrontation, who want wars. Those are the people that Vindman is a part of and who he identifies with. They're you know, clients, if you like, in Ukraine itself. And I accept he's probably, because he's of Ukrainian descent, he's probably got an ideological aspect to all of this in addition. But what he was worried about, and this is so interesting, if you go back to that record of the Trump, that famous Trump Zelensky call, what Trump was worried about was two things. He was worried about corruption in Ukraine. Corruption, by the way, in Ukraine, and he was also worried about the effect, the way that corruption might have played out in the United States. This is where the Hunter Biden thing comes in, and also Ukraine's role in stirring up Russiagate. This is what, you know, Trump was concerned about. So Trump was concerned with the United States. That's what that call shows. Vindman is not concerned with the United States. He is concerned about, you know, pursuing these massive geopolitical projects, which, as you rightly say, are underpinned by money. Money, by the way, which comes not from Ukraine, it comes to US taxpayers. They're funding all of this. So they're funding the military-industrial complex. They're funding this bloated State Department bureaucracy. They're funding the lobbyists, because it's the money that the taxpayer sends to the military, that the military-industrial complex, that ends up going to the Washington lobbyists, the think tanks, all of these things. That's who ultimately pays for all of this. And all that money which goes to Ukraine in aid, we've talked about this many times, via the IMF, comes back to the United States in the pockets of various people And quite possibly one day, Vindman might have thought that he might be one of them. After all, Ukraine had invited him to be its defense minister. So there you go. So that was what he was concerned all about. And you're absolutely right. What Donald Trump wants to do is he says, I don't see what benefit the United States gains from all of this. When I talk about the United States, this is what Donald Trump is saying. I don't mean the top people in the military. I don't mean the military industrial complex. I don't mean the neocons and the think tanks and all those things. I mean the soldiers who serve in the military, who have to expend their blood fighting all these wars. I mean the taxpayers who are paying for all these wars and all these great geopolitical projects. I don't see what those people gain from all of this. And I want to stop it, because all that's happening is that in the case of the military, the soldiers in the military, they're giving their blood. And in the case of the taxpayers, they're giving their treasure to wage these strategies from which some people benefit to an extraordinary degree financially, but which in the end, for the people, including the people who serve in the military in the United States, they gain nothing from it at all. And that is what the deep state, the Democrats, the think tanks, the people in the media, the bloated people in the State Department, the people in the security services, the CIA, that's what they can't stomach. That's what they can't forgive. That's why they're working against Donald Trump all the time. And that was what both Russiagate and Ukrainegate were all about. And Vindman gave it all away in that extraordinary testimony he gave to the House Intelligence Committee, in which he talked about the fact that Trump was going against the interagency, this nebulous, amorphous, unconstitutional entity, which, of course, in Vindman's mind, brings together all those things that Trump, on behalf of the American people, is opposing. So this is what it's all about. And can I just say again, you may disagree with Donald Trump on many things. You might not like some of his economic policies. You might think that, he's cut taxes on rich people too far, that, some of his policies on certain things you don't agree with. Ultimately, I don't see this is what ultimately matters in November, because the overarching issue is, do you want a president who cares about the American people, who cares about the people of the United States, or do you want the interagency, Vindman's interagency, to win? Bear in mind that the interagency exists outside politics and is not accountable to the people in an election, is not recognized by the Constitution of the United States, and is ultimately opposed to the Constitution of the United States. That, for me, is the real struggle that is being played out today. So that is what people should vote around. You can find it all set out, as I said, brilliantly by Byron York in his book, but you'll find it even better set out, and that's more vividly, because we were reporting on it at the time as it was happening. We were providing our commentary in our videos that we did for the Duran. And it's bizarre, we're not allowed to speak the name of the whistleblower, because he wasn't a whistleblower, he wasn't even a gossip blower, he was just a messenger, he was just a glove puppet of other people. He was completely unimportant in the whole thing.
Incredible, an incredible story with so much relevance as to what's happening now, 2 months away.
Absolutely.
Before the election.
Absolutely.
Really is. And on your point, Alexander, I'm already hearing a lot of noise from the Biden camp with regards to Syria, and it's very troubling.
Absolutely.
They want to go to war. They want to go to war with Syria.
They're aching for war. They're aching for war with Syria. Yeah. They're aching for war in all sorts of places. And of course, as you rightly said, I should have mentioned this also, we have all these bizarre bizarre narratives that have been circulated. Not narratives, I mean schemes, plots,
documented,
recorded things to overturn the election result in November, involving bringing in the military as well. Unbelievable stuff. Now, can I just say, by the way, I mean, you know, and it comes back to the point you were making, I predict that if anybody does that, plays those kind of lunatic things, the American people won't accept it. And many of the and the American people includes many of the people who serve in the military also. So these are very dangerous ideas. For the sake of the United States, they should be put to one side. I don't trust the people who are hatching them to put them to one side. And that is another reason why it's important to use your vote properly in November.
Well said. Alexander Mercuris, thank you very much, guys. If you like this video, click on that subscribe button to get notifications and what else? Notifications about videos and live streams as well. Sometimes YouTube sends us notifications. Sometimes they don't.
But either way,
click on that subscribe button. It really helps out a lot. And go to PayPal, Patreon, and Subscribestar. Please send us a donation. That also helps us out a lot so we can report the news to you. And please go to the Duran Shop. I've got a USA mug. Pick up some merchandise. That helps out this channel. Here's my USA Magic mug. And here I'm wearing a Canada shirt.
And here is mine, by the way. You can see that this is my default mug. I have it with me all the time because, you know, this is the flag that is being that is under the greatest danger in some ways. I mean, it's the flag of the United States of America, of the Republic. And it is the Republic which is being threatened. So we have obviously our magic mug with the US flag. We also have other magic mugs. This is Australia and this is Britain, all English speaking countries, but we also have other countries too. This is a smaller magic mug with the flag of Greece. And we have enameled magic mugs. This one has Germany. And this one has Russia. This is another one. If you're looking for magic mugs with your own country's flag and you can't find them in our shop, wait a little because we will no doubt have it before very long. And if you still go and see it in a short time, you drop us a line and we will sort it out for you. So we got these amazing magic mugs, the best mugs in the world, both porcelain and enamel. This is England now. And the enamel mugs are wonderful for drinking outdoors, by the way. They are the perfect mugs for taking out of doors when you go out and you need a mug there. And as Alex also rightly says, we have flags on our shirts now, and he's wearing the Canada flag, just showing it to you again. We've got embroidered shirts, more embroidered shirts coming. We've also got hats with flags, trucker's hats and baseball caps and embroidered hats too. And we've also got hoodies. And of course, we've also got our ebooks. So we've got all these amazing things in our shop. They're there for you. Come to our shop, support the Duran, buy these great products. Alex will tell you how.
Just go to theduranshop.com. You'll find the link in the description box down below. And you'll also find the link to our first spin-off channel down below as well. Please subscribe to that channel. That's under my name, Alex Christoforou, and Alexander Mercuris's channel is coming up next. We will announce it as well. On this main channel, we will announce all the new channels that come up on this main channel. So please subscribe to those channels as well, because our main goal is to get as much news to you guys, our viewers, as possible. That's our goal. We want to inform you. We want to get as much content out to you as we can. Alexander Mercuris, Editor-in-Chief of Duran, thank you very much. Until next time, everybody, take care.